Thank you. So we have a Gemara in Tainas Daf Chav Zayin, as well as in Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph, where the Gemara tells us that we have a pasuk that Avraham Avinu was told, Kechali Egla Mishuleshas, I want you to take these animals, I want you by the Brisbane Habasarim to sacrifice them before me. And Avraham Avinu responds and he says, Amar Lefanov, Avraham Avinu says to God himself, Tenach Bizvan Shabbis Hamikdash Kayim. This makes sense. This is something I can do when there is a Beis HaMikdash that is functioning, and I can offer karbanos to you. I can have that relationship. However, Bizman She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayim, when we have no Beis HaMikdash, Ma Tehei Aleihem, what's going to be with my descendants? What's going to be with my children? How are they going to relate to you? How are they going to have a relationship at all? Amar Lo, so God says, nothing to worry about. Kvar Tikanti Lehem Seder Karbanos. Don't worry about it, we have the karbanos. Bizman shekorim lahem lefanai, when they read all of the parshas hakarbanos that we have in our siddur in the beginning of davening every day, male ani alehem, I consider it ki'ilu hikrivum lefanai, it is as if they have offered those sacrifices in person, as if they have come to the Beis HaMikdash and brought them, v'ani mocha lahem al kol avonoseihem. So yesterday we spoke about the disagreement between the Rambam and the Raivin and other Rishonim about whether or not Makrivin, Afal Pisha, and Bayis. Are we able to offer sacrifices, as wild as it sounds, can we offer sacrifices at a time when we have no Beis HaMikdash? We spoke about the Drishas Tzion, that was Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, the star disciple of Rabbi Kiva Eger, who discussed it together with the Chasam Sofer and with others of his generation, whether or not we can reinstitute that possibility of going to Yerushalayim, of going on the Makam HaMikdash, and offering sacrifices even at a time when we have no Beis HaMikdash. It happens to be they didn't realize that there was a mosque in the way, and they wouldn't be able to do so even if they wanted to, even if they got around all the obstacles, all the problems that they encountered, but still, it was a beautiful discussion. Here says the Gemara, even if you don't live in Yerushalayim, and even if you have all of those obstacles, and you are not able to make it to the Beis HaMikdash and offer a karban, says the Gemara, Avraham Avinu has already promised that we have a way around it, and that is by offering the karbanos in our tefillah, by saying all of the parshas hakarbanos that we're supposed to recite every morning, it is as if we have the opportunity to offer the karbanos themselves. This is the conversation that was related between Avraham Avinu and the Ribono Shel Olam, and then the Gemara picks up on that again in Menachos Daf Kuf Yud, where the Gemara says, Kala Osek B'Taras Chatas, anyone who involves themselves, anyone who engages in the Taras HaChatas, is Ki'ilu Hikrav Chatas. It is as if you have offered the karban itself. V'Kala Osek B'Taras Asham, Ki'ilu Hikrav Asham, says the Gemara, this applies not only to a karban Chatas, it applies to a karban Asham as well. And therefore the Tur writes in the very first Siman in Aruch Chaim, that based on this Gemara, Tov Mar Taras HaKarbanos B'Kala, it is a very important practice for us to recite karbanos every morning. It's not just pages in the beginning of the Siddur that are for people who come early. It's something that's important, says the Tur. Uvisiyam parsha sa'ola, at the end of reciting all of these paragraphs, one should say, Ribon ha'olamim, yihi ratzon lefanecha sheyehei zeh chashuv umkubal lefanecha, I want this to be considered ki'ilu hikravti ola bizmana, that it should be considered as if I offered a karban ola in its proper time. And therefore, says the Tur, not only do you say that at that juncture when you talk about the Parshas Ha'ola, which is the Karban Tamid that we offer every day, but also he writes, V'chein Yomar Archar Parshas HaMincha. One should say this as well after reciting the paragraphs from Chumash and the Mishnayis about the Karban Mincha, Hashlamim V'Ha'osham. So these are all paragraphs that we find in our Siddurim, in the very beginning of the Siddur, that not only are you supposed to say the Karbanos and the relevant mishnayos that go along with those psukim, but also to say a tefillah that it is as if I have offered the karban, based number one on this Gemara in Menachos Kuf Yud, and number two, the Gemara that has the conversation with Avraham Avinu as well. The Marsha actually writes in Maseches Tainis Daf Chav Ches a very beautiful comment that I think should be of somewhat a comfort to us. Yes, we are living in the Galus, and yes, we don't have the opportunity to connect as much with the Ribono Shel Olam as we used to. And yes, we bemoan the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash as we used to. However, he says, the Pasuk says, a very famous Pasuk, Lule Sarascha Sha'ashuai, if I didn't have the Torah as a Sha'ashua, as something that I can literally translate to play with, but that's not what it means. It means to be my delight, to keep me occupied. As Avadati Ba'ani, I would just be lost in the terrible grief that I suffer through in all these years of galus and all these years of exile. Says the Maharsha, you know what an added level of meaning might be? Lule sarascha sha'ashuai, not just the delight of learning Torah, that obviously is a delight for all of us. However, says the Maharsha, perhaps what it means as well is, lule sarascha sha'ashuai, if not for the opportunity to study your Torah and to talk about the karbanos and to have it as if I have offered all those karbanos, azavadati ba'ani, I would have been detached from spirituality so long ago, because I would say, what is my relationship with God? How do I communicate with Him? But because, says the Marsha, that God gave us this second option, and that is, if you can't make it to the Beis HaMikdash, if you can't have the opportunity to bring a karban in its actual state, in physical terms, you are able to learn the Torah of the karbanos, and that counts. Ki ilu hikrafta, it's as if you've done it, says the Marsha. This is what has kept us going throughout all the millennia, throughout all the generations. If not for that, azavadati ba'anya, I would have been lost in my suffering, in my exile, because I wouldn't have the opportunity and the possibility to connect with God on the level of offering karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. So, in a couple of weeks, we're going to read Paras Parah. Parshas Parah is one of the introductory parshas that we read before Pesach. And the very simple reason for the minhag of reading Parshas Parah is because in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, when you had to bring a korban Pesach, obviously everybody had to make sure that they were tahar, everybody had to make sure that they were pure, and they were ready to eat the korban Pesach and engage in the activities of the Leil HaSeder. So therefore we remind ourselves of this experience that they had. So says the Pasuk, Zos Chukas HaTorah Asher Tziva Hashem Leimar. This is the Chukah, the beginning of Parshas Chukas. Dabra b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish people, v'yikho elecha para aduma, I want them to take a para aduma, and here is how you should go about doing it. On the third day, on the seventh day, you should sprinkle this water with the ashes in it, and that's the way they will become tahor. Says the Chasam Sofer in his commentary on Chumash, in the beginning of Parshas Chukas, even though Chazal tell us, kala osek b'taras chatas ki ilu hikrif chatas, even though Chazal say that if you learn the psukim about a given karban, it's as if you have offered that sacrifice in physical terms. Hareze rak bekarbanos habayim lechapara. That only works, says the Chasam Sofer, when we're talking about a karban that comes to be mechaper. I've done something wrong, and I have to bring a karban chatas. Says the Gemara, nowadays when you don't have a karban chatas, what's going to be? You have to live with that sin forever? No. Talk about the karban chatas, learn about the karban chatas, study all the relevant halachos of the karban chatas, and it is considered as if you offer the karban. Says the Chasam Sofer, that only applies to a karban that is balachaper. However, he says, Sha'akriya b'tor b'zman hazeh mechaperes, because reading the scriptures, reading the psukim, the mishnayis, about that karban, is what is able to give us a kapara nowadays, ki'ilu ikrivim b'fol. It is as if I have offered it myself. Aval, he says, Ha'akriya b'tor b'parshas para aduma. One cannot say that by reading Parshas Para that we're going to read in a few weeks, one cannot assume Eef Shalomar Shiya Ayideze Tahar Mitumas Mace Kiilu Huza Bishlishi Ushvi. You cannot say, oh, now you're allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash, because after all, you read Parshas Para, and it's as if you sprinkled the Para Aduma water on yourself, says the Chasam Sofer, which seems to be a very simple point that he's making, that by reading the Parsha Para Aduma, that is something that is not going to give you a kapara. It's not going to give you a tahara. Because a tahara is necessary by actually being sprinkled with the water. It's not good enough just to read the psukim. So although the Chasam Sofer writes this way, and although he's making, I think, a fairly obvious point, one of the Chassidish Rebbes writes in his Sefer Avodas Yisrael, also on Parshas Parah, a beautiful insight picking up on the Chasam Sofer. And he writes as follows, V'hine, b'Shabbos Parshas Parah, you're right, on Shabbos Parshas Parah, we read it about Taharat and Shal Yisrael. The reason why we read it is because we remind ourselves of the fact that the Jewish people had to go through this whole process before offering a Karban Pesach. And this is something that happened annually before the Yom Tov Pesach came around. And therefore he says, Pirush HaInyan, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, they used to go ahead and actually use and sprinkle the Parah Aduma waters. However, Bizman She'en Beis HaMikdash Kayam, we want that our words, that all that we enunciate, that all that we remind ourselves of, this whole story of the Para Aduma is ki'ilu ki'yamnu v'ikravnu karbanos gam b'para ba'azal shlishi yushvi. We want it to be considered as if we have offered the Para Aduma on the shlishi yushvi and as if we have been sprinkled. He says, look, you cannot consider yourself as if you have become tar. After all, you didn't have the water sprinkled on you. However, he says, you still can consider yourself as if you've gone through a tahara ruchanis l'chavod haregel haba aleinu. Yes, it's true, the Chasam Sofer writes on Chumash that you cannot consider it neshalma parmas vaseinu. It's not as if you've been sprinkled. You can't walk into the Beis HaMikdash. However, don't lose sight of the fact, says the other svarim, that yes, you might not be actually tahar, but you have a tahara ruchanis. You have gone through some sort of transformation spiritually, which now elevates you to be on a higher level. And that's the way we enter the holiday of Pesach. That's what we think about as we read Parshas Parah, to remind ourselves that yes, there will come a time when we will once again do the actual activity of sprinkling the Parah Aduma water. However, even for now, when we don't have that opportunity, it is something we can at least think about, that we have the experience of going through a Tahara Ruchaniz based on that Gemara, that Neshalma Parim Sifasenu. So the Acharonim have an important discussion, and that is, do we assume that this travels, that this expands to all mitzvahs HaTorah? Look, the Gemara only gives the example of somebody who is unable to offer a Karban Chatos, somebody who is unable to offer a Karban Asham, should go ahead and learn all of the Torah that there is to know about those Karbanos, and it is as if you have sacrificed those Karbanos. Do we now extrapolate from that, that if I cannot do the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, say for example, not everybody has the opportunity to find that situation and to be able to perform the mitzvah properly, and we have many mitzvahs that we are unable to perform. I'm not able to live in Eretz Yisrael, I unfortunately right now do not live there, and I cannot perform the mitzvahs HaTeluyas Ba'aretz. Does this mean that as long as I learn the mitzvahs HaTeluyas Ba'aretz, that's good enough? So this is a major discussion in many Acharonim. The Mabit has a whole essay where he discusses it in the Shar HaTshuva, and there he says, well, maybe we can say that this applies not only to Karbanos, but maybe to any mitzvah that a person cannot perform. Perhaps we assume that given those circumstances and you are an absolute anus, you cannot perform the mitzvah for whatever reason, maybe we should say that you have the opportunity to go ahead and perform the mitzvah by saying, by reciting, by learning and familiarizing oneself with the halachas that pertain to that very given mitzvah. So this is a major discussion, and it's a question how far we take it. But it's something to think about. The Chafetz Chaim tried to encourage many people in his generation, Rav Kook writes about it as well in his Hakdama to his Sfarim on Mitzvot HaTeluyos Ba'aretz, that this is something we should try to think about every so often, because the more we familiarize ourselves with these halachos that pertain to living in Eretz Yisrael, the more we'll have the opportunity to consider it as if we have performed those mitzvahs themselves. And obviously, say the Chafetz Chaim as well as Rav Kook, they both say the same idea, that yes, there is that benefit that perhaps the Mabit is correct, that we can apply this to all mitzvahs, even mitzvahs outside of Karbanos, but even without that, they write, that to familiarize ourselves with the halacha, so that when we come to the situation where we have the opportunity to come back to Eretz Yisrael and to perform all those mitzvahs HaTeluyos Ba'aretz, we will be well prepared. The Chafetz Chaim gives a mashal and he says, it used to be in Europe, now it's not the case. Now we set a wedding date and we know exactly when it's going to be and all the preparations are supposed to be ready for that time. But said the Chafetz Chaim, it used to be in Europe, they would set a wedding date that was negotiable, and they would say, well, if everything's prepared by this and this date, then we plan to get married. If not, we'll push it off another few days, another few weeks, whatever's necessary. Says the Chafetz Chaim, imagine, you have a chassan who makes up with his kala when they're going to get married, and everything's supposed to be set, and now the wedding day comes, and he says that, look, I went to check in by the kala's family, it seems they're not ready yet, so I'll give it some more time. He goes back to do whatever he's doing, to his job, to his business, whatever it might be. And now the Kala's family comes running to him and says, no, look, now she's all ready. She has her makeup on already and she's wearing the gown. Can you imagine the chassan is not going to go greet her? Can you imagine he's not going to be prepared to run out immediately and marry the wife that he so much wants to be married to? Says the Chafetz Chaim, what's going to happen when the Ribono Shel Olam, when God informs us, Higiyaz Man Geulaschem, it's time for you to return to Eretz Yisrael. Here you are, I'm giving you the chance. You decided to push it off and keep pushing it off and saying you're not ready yet. Oh, we need to do more things and get more ready. Now I'm ready. The Ribono Shel Olam comes and he says, are you ready? Are you prepared? Writes the Chafetz Chaim. He's going to ask us those questions. Do you know how to live in Eretz Yisrael? Do you know what it means to be Mafris, Trumas, and Maisis and to offer Karbanos and to run a Beis HaMikdash and to have Kedusha and Tahara? It's not such an easy lifestyle to live. And that's what the Chafetz Chaim suggests is another reason why it's important to learn the halachas that pertain to the mitzvahs HaTeluyos Ba'aretz, or for that matter, the halachos that pertain to having a functioning Beis HaMikdash. Because after all, one day in our lifetime we daven for, we hope for, that we will have that opportunity where the Ribono Shel Olam will inform us that he is ready. Higiyaz Man Geulaschem, and the question is going to be, we as the spouse, we as the chassan, are we prepared as well to answer that call and to tell the Ribono Shel Olam that yes, we are ready to come along, we are ready to commit to do everything as you have told us to do, as you have instructed, and we are ready to come back to Eretz Yisrael and to do everything the way it is supposed to be done.